What's good, wagering world? It's your boy Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. This is the Wagering World. Glad to be in here with you all today. Let's get these numbers up on these live views before we get started. I see a few in here waiting on everyone to join. They probably can't believe I'm on time today, right? I appreciate everyone who's tuning in. It's always us versus the machine. I'll continue to do this for you know who, the underground and the underdogs. The name of this show is Good Vibrations Only. And the reason why I had to go there and say that is because I've been dealing with a little troubling matters inside the wagering world community, man. Not everyone. Most people are really good people, man. For the most part, that's who I do this for. But every now and then, you got a couple of negative clowns that, you know, I don't want to deal with. Really disappointing thing for me was yesterday. I'm on my timeline and I check in every blue moon just to see what's going on in the world in general and in sports. It's a guy, man, that we've been following each other since I've been back on X. I was on X for many years, had a lot of followers. I was a manager for Riff Raff, who was an artist at the time out of Houston. Well, he's from Minnesota, but I found him in Houston, got him in L.A., and he did some work with a lot of different artists, ended up dating Katy Perry and kind of blew up. But that's my original Twitter account that I had. Then I got suspended during COVID because, as you guys know, I like to speak my mind. And that suspension ended up becoming me getting expelled from Twitter because I had some words with Gayle King. Okay, so when I come back, I restart the whole page. A lot of guys from the Houston area follow me, guys who like talking sports. And one of the guys who started following me and we got pretty close was a guy that went to LSU. And with me being a big LSU guy and a guy who was at LSU a lot growing up, you know, we got cool with each other, started following each other. We share knowledge every now and then. We chop it up, talk about some Louisiana type things, you know. I was really disappointed yesterday. He comes across my timeline and he's spewing all of this negative stuff, man, using the N-word, saying that he doesn't want to live around black people. And I'm like, what? So, you know, I am. Of course, I checked him, talked really bad to him, and he deserved it because I think that the worst thing that any human can do is try to stereotype a group of people, and because of one bad experience that they had with one individual, try to make the whole group like that. You know, like my neighborhood is an exclusive neighborhood in Summerlin. It's black people on the street. It's Asian people on the street. It's white people on the street. It's Spanish people on the street. Everybody gets along and everyone deals with everyone individually. So I had to end up checking the guy and then I end up blocking him later. He didn't say much back because he couldn't say much. All of this stemmed from him getting upset behind the unfortunate incident that happened on the bus with the young lady being stabbed. And, you know, they try to take small things like that. And you're so offended when it affects you. But I didn't see this guy anywhere saying anything when, you know, Trayvon Martin was killed. You know, when the situation happened with Oscar Grant, where was he when those people got killed at the church? You know, by a young Caucasian man. Why weren't you saying then, I don't want to be around white people? So I feel like that it's a lot of negativity in the world already, and we need to focus on positive vibes. And if you're on any negativity, I just don't want to be around you, man. My grandparents were black people. My wife is black. My kids are black. My mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law, everyone in my family is black. So if you speak bad about the race, you're speaking about my family, my bloodline. So I have no time for that. And if you're on that type of stuff, you cannot be a part of the wagering world. I had to block that guy. I don't want him to make any money off of me, because why would I want you to share my knowledge and take some of the things that I give out for free from the kindness of my heart and make money when you hate me literally inside, you know? So it's a lot of that going on. I am who I am. When you see me on X, you see myself, you see me post my family, my kids, because I'm not on here trying to hide or anything and have hidden agendas. There's so many people who are fake right now, man. They work in corporate America, go smile and work with everybody, and then come on a, you know, a burner account on X and spew all types of hate and evil. And I'm not with that at all. If you're a part of this community and you're getting best from me and I find out that you're on that type of stuff, you're going to be exiled. So it is what it is. If you don't like me for telling the truth, then I don't need you in the group anyway. So I had that situation. So that kind of made me say, wait a second. Then the second situation is that guy that I kind of spoke to you guys about. I'm not going to give him too much floor time because he's obviously looking to use me to develop his own platform, because he comes under the comments and always got something to say, want to post his pics. But if you're so good at betting sports, my man, why don't you just start your own page? That's all you have to do. Start your own YouTube channel. You know, do your own thing. Stop coming under my page if you're negative. If you don't agree with the picks, that's fine. But anytime you say something personally about me, I'm going to take it personal, because even though I put on this smile and carry myself like this really happy-go-lucky guy, I'm really not that. Like, I'm really a guy who lives off the grid. Never liked fame, don't like to be known. I like to just stay out the way because I really hurt somebody and I don't want to, man. You know, like, I don't want to take it back to who I am and how I grew up, but that's still inside of me. So positive vibes on in this group, in this community. If I see you under my page spewing any type of negativity, man, starting a bunch of mess, I'm going to just block you. I didn't block the dude yet. I blocked him on X, but I'm not going to block him on YouTube. I want him to come on here, get the plays, hopefully make some money. You know, that's what this is all about. But, dude, stop trying to start your fan base on my page. Go start your own YouTube. I see you have one with very little people watching it and following it. Do your own stuff, man. Stop trying to make it you versus Five Star, because you're going to lose every time. You don't have the money to compete with me. You don't have the knowledge to compete with me. So we're just going to leave it at that, and we're going to make this show all about positivity, because when you come into the wagering world, you're dealing with someone who's taking his time just to help you out, man. That's what I come here for. I don't need to do this. As I say many times, I don't make anything from doing this. I come here just because this is my way of giving back my pro bono work. I've been very successful with what I do, and I like to make sure that everyone is beating these books. It's us versus the machine always. They went and got AI now to try to make it a lot more difficult for people to get to the window. And I just want to figure it out with you guys, man. I love betting sports. I'm a huge sports guy, man. Super, super sports fan since I was a small child. Some of my earliest memories is my mom, rest in peace. When I was maybe 3 years old, we were in my grandparents' kitchen and she snapped the ball to me. She was a Cowboys fan, and she snapped the ball to me and told me that I was going to be Tony Dorsett. And, you know, that still is in my heart today. I've loved football ever since when I was 3 years old. It became a business to me as I got older, as I kind of learned about this betting stuff. But betting it to me is more like a puzzle, man, trying to figure it out every day, trying to get through the maze and figure out what the books are up to. And I enjoy you guys going on that journey with me, man, because at the heart, I'm just a creator, man. I'm a creator. I'm an earner. I don't even like the spotlight. I've never wanted fame. Fame is the last thing that I want. Lance Zierlein had to beg me to come get on ESPN 97.5 and start all of this stuff, because I like to just stay to myself and make money. But now that I'm doing it, I met great guys like Ski Profit, like Jay Money, and those guys spread a stare. And those guys kind of, you know, influenced me to, yeah, man, just come on, let's do the show. You got a lot of knowledge to share with people. So that's what I do. I have a tight-knit community. I don't want a lot of people. I don't want to be nationally known. I don't want to be famous. I'm not into any of that stuff like that, because with that comes problems. And most people don't understand that when you see a player on the field or you see an artist on the stage performing, they're making the least amount of money. They're just getting the fame. You don't want the fame. You want to be the guy that's behind the scenes grinding because you're doing it for your craft when you're in the grind, or you want to be the guy that's producing the situation, that's the earner. Those are the guys that's really making money. The owners of the teams are the ones that's making the real money. The executive producers of the shows and of the films, those are the ones that are really making the money. So don't get caught up with fame, guys. That's the last thing that matters in the wagering world. All right, man, let's get right to the show. Let's get to the pass. Hit that like button if you're in here rocking with the Wagering World, if you're rocking with Five Star in Vegas. I appreciate everyone who's inside. We'll do some Q&A at the end. I see you guys' comments. Keep sending those comments. We'll definitely make sure to answer some questions before the show is over. You know me, I like to be very transparent with what we're doing. So we're going to jump right into the past first. Let's get in the past, man. Let's talk about yesterday. We gave out some tennis, and this is actually the wrong time of the year to bet tennis. After the U.S. Open, no one really cares. Like, you know, it's that down period that either you're going to catch people who are tired because we're now past the half mark of the season, or some are even just dirty, man, and this is their opportunity to make money, where if they're a really big favorite, they can get someone in their family, someone in their team to bet the other side, and they just lay a lemon. And we saw that yesterday with Lynn Yates. She gets mowed with a bagel in the first set against Arango. She should never lose 6-0 to Arango, especially on hard court guys. So that was kind of shady, but she did quit and retire. So that's a good thing. If anyone took her straight, if you're on the right book, you probably got counsel. And then we look at the other match, and we see Sammez with very limited effort as well. That's a bad handicap on my part. I always say bad beat, bad break, bad handicap. On the Tatiana Maria handicap, that was a bad handicap. And the reason why, after I started watching the match and thought about it, I'm like, this is the time of the year that Tatiana Maria eats. She loves to win these little tournaments and play a little bit better when everyone else is kind of taking a break. It's her time to keep her career going. She's 38 years old, married with two kids, so she has a family to feed. So we shouldn't have faded her. That's my bad on that. I did think that Sammez is much more talented, and she is, but she didn't have the patience to deal with Tatiana Marie's slice game and her volley game. It really had her frustrated, committing way too many errors. The first set she could have won after she broke Maria on 5-3 and then went to 5-4. That was her opportunity to seize the match. But instead of serving out and getting it 5-5, she gets broken again and everything went downhill after that. I'm really ticked off because I should have gave you guys the Osorio match. I had it marked down as the ball and parlay. I played it myself at minus 115, but then I kind of overthought a little bit about giving it out because Osorio's been injured. She's retired from the last few matches she's played, but she was 4-0 against Rakhimova. And Rakhimova is one of those players from Russia that's kind of, you know, you don't know what you're going to get from her. Sometimes she could play like a top 50 player, and sometimes she plays like she has no business being on the court. So it was a little shaky on that one, but we'll get it right back. Now, we don't lose much. We put one unit on a two-leg parlay to play plus 116. If you've been watching the show, you're way up for the whole season, so we can take that. And what we'll do is we'll find a way to get it back and you know, replace that and get ahead again for the week. If you saw Sloane Stephens, she got in her rhythm in the second set and ended up where it started raining. I still think that she might win this match. They started back again at 2:30 Pacific Standard Time. If the rain stays away in Guadalajara, we'll see how that goes. Hopefully she can gone and finished the second set. I believe she was up 5-3. She lost the first set because she got broken, you know, on her serve after she had broke. It's kind of similar to what we just talked about in the Sammez match, where she breaks her opponent on 5-3, you know, when they're serving out, and then she can't hold her serve. She can't back up the break. So Sloane Stephens ends up losing the first set. It's probably a really good number on her live. I think that the time off will probably help her. She probably will go and talk to a coach, come up with some strategies, because she's definitely a better player than Stefanini. She's just rusty, man, and coming off an injury. All right, man, let's get to the present right now. Got the Commanders and the Packers. The line is Packers -3.5 on Thursday night. That's going to be on September 11th, tomorrow. You know, rest in peace to all the victims of 9/11. Really sad day in our country. And also the over and under on Commanders and Packers is 48.5. This is a very interesting game. Two of my favorite young quarterbacks. You guys know, if you've been following the show for a while, that I was clamoring for Jordan Love even when Aaron Rodgers was the starting quarterback. And I was telling people that the moment that Jordan Love became the quarterback for the Packers, that they were going to excel. And the reason why is because Aaron Rodgers is kind of like what I talked about yesterday with Caleb Williams. He's one of those guys that likes to kind of free will and deal and do his own thing. He doesn't like to run the plays the way that the coach sets them. He also likes to check out a lot of stuff. And Matt LaFleur is a great play caller. And I felt like the Packers offense would excel with Jordan Love being a young guy who's only going to follow what his coach is telling him to do. So they have. I also think that Jordan Love learned a lot under Aaron Rodgers. As you see, kind of changes release after being a young guy to come in from Utah State. I remember in college, I don't think he had that same release. It seems like Brett Favre passed that release to Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers kind of passed it on to Jordan Love, because Jordan Love can whip that thing now, man. And I still want to see if their receivers are the real deal. I feel like their best receiver is hurt, and that's Jaden Reed. He did show up and play well last week, but does he make it through the whole season? Because he's dealing with an injury that really deserves surgery, but I think he's going to try to play it out this year. So we'll see how that goes. That Packers offense did look good last week at home against Detroit, but not a lot of effort from Detroit. When I look at the numbers on this game, it looks like the betting percentages are pretty even. So we should get a good football game that's, you know, about what's happening on the field and not as much on what the books need. You know, I'm a Jaden Daniels guy. Like I said, if you're a longtime member of the Waging World, you remember 2021, I told Spread a Stat at Jaden Daniels was the best quarterback in college football. He was still at Arizona State, and a lot of people didn't feel that way at the time. But I always saw this kid's leadership qualities. I always saw his accuracy. That's the main thing. He's a really, really accurate quarterback to be so athletic, and that's a really rare combination, and a combination that's usually very successful. He's also a very mature kid. Goes to LSU. I was so thrilled. It was just like a dream come true with him going to LSU and playing for my Tigers. And he really did well there, man. He shined. So Commanders going to the Packers. Packers coming off a big divisional win, short week. Commanders coming off a divisional win at home against a Giants team that didn't show much. Both the defenses for both of these teams played really well. And we talked about yesterday how a lot of these games have been going under. So 48.5 is a pretty high number. I don't know if they get there. Maybe the second half things pick up and one of the teams are trying to come back and they get over the number. But that 48.5 is pretty high right now with the type of defenses that both of these teams are playing. I really, you know, I'm a big fan of Dan Quinn. I think Dan Quinn is one of the more underrated coaches. Before the season last year, I felt Washington was going to make a big jump because Dan Quinn has had success everywhere he went. When he was with the Cowboys, they were really a good defense and a really sound team because of him. And we saw a big drop off when he left. A lot of people forget that he went to the Super Bowl with the Atlanta Falcons. I think the second time in their team history that they went to the Super Bowl. I still say he's probably the best coach they've had in their franchise history. He did a really, really good job over there. And if not for Tom Brady's magic in the memorable 28-3 game, I think that things are a little different. History kind of remembers Dan Quinn differently. Well, he has a brand new chance and has the right quarterback under center. Really good OC and Cliff Kingsbury over there. I lean Commanders on this game. It's not an official bet for me yet, but I definitely lean Commanders simply off the fact that 3.5 is a lot to get with an offense that is as good as the Commanders are. You saw that early. Jaden Daniels has already got really, really acclimated to playing with Debo. That's a good thing that Cliff Kingsbury's using him early. McLaurin missed a lot of camp with, you know, contract dispute, but him and Jaden Daniels have a really good connection. I think that he's going to have a much better game this game than he did on last week. You know, last week he didn't get a lot of targets and he didn't have a lot of receptions. I think that he plays better. But who I'm looking for with this Washington team is this kid, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. They call him Bill. They say that he was bald-headed as a kid, so they kind of start calling him Little Bill. Well, that nickname has stuck with him, and now he's made it to the league. And I like running backs with his type of background and story. I think he's going to be the bell cow for this team this year because Austin Ekeler is really undersized, and he's kind of getting long in the tooth, not as explosive as he was with the Chargers. And even then, he always was slow. We have so many films of him breaking long runs and getting walked down by a DB. They're not going to catch this kid, Bill Krosky Merritt. He got to the league the long way. He put in a lot of work, and these are the type of guys that end up excelling in the NFL. You know, kid out of Montgomery, Alabama, not Mobile, Montgomery, Alabama. Shout out to all the people in the chat from Alabama. I know that my guy Sergio is probably tuning in, and he's from Alabama. He started at Little Alabama State, which is a swag school, and it's crazy because in three seasons there, he didn't get a lot of touches, and even though he didn't get a lot of touches, he was able to transfer to New Mexico. I guess that Bronco Mendenhall saw something in his kid. He has a great eye for talent, and he blossoms at New Mexico. 2023 runs for 1,200 yards and 17 touchdowns. And then after that successful year, he tries to parlay that into an NIL deal. Starts at Arizona, but ends up flipping to Ole Miss over there with Lane Kiffin. But something went on stemming from a NCAA discrepancy regarding his jersey number 21 being used by another player after redshirting as a freshman at Alabama in 2019. So the NCAA found something that he was doing, man. And I don't know what happened with that, but they did not let him play the rest of the year. He played one game, actually, for Ole Miss, and he was good in that game. He rushed for 106 yards and a touchdown, but that was it. He had to sit out the rest of the year. He ends up going to play in the East-West Shrine game. That's, you know, that's like a senior game where the more middle-round, unknown guys kind of go display their skills for the NFL, and all the scouts are there. And the kid goes off 97 yards, two touchdowns. He ends up being the offensive MVP of that game. And that kind of put him in the eyes of different scouting departments in the NFL. And Washington does a good job by grabbing him. I think this kid is going to be a star. What people don't understand is a running back really benefits from a quarterback like Jaden Daniels. He, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, they give you an edge at running back because the threat of the RPO, when they put it in your stomach, you have to respect that they can pull it out and get around the edge, and that opens up big gaps in the defense. And Cliff Kingsbury is really good at drawing up the run game. So my official play for this game is going to be Jacari Krosky Merritt, a.k.a. Bill Krosky Merritt. You'll probably see him, though, on your book as Jacari. That he scores an anytime touchdown plus 220 is ridiculous. That's going to be a lot lower than that on tomorrow, I guarantee you. So if you can get that plus 220 now, and this is a group play that I sent out to my guys, so I'm sharing a group play, so do not bring the jank. So you guys do not jank us because we're all heavy on Jacari Krosky Merritt being able to get into the end zone in Green Bay. I believe that he'll be really fired up for this game. Every football player wants to play at Lambeau. Like, Lambeau is a dream field for most. It's the field of dreams, kind of, you know, so such a romance about that place. The oldest stadium in the NFL, you know, in the smallest town, and the one team that's owned by the community. If you've ever been up there, I was blessed enough to go up there because I had a friend who used to play for the Packers. And Green Bay, it's just a football town. They call it Title Town. And when you get up there and you see all of the streets and things, and you know how they honor the football team, and you get to the stadium, it's really, really a joy. And that's why I remember Mike Vick's best game in his career, I believe, was at Green Bay. And it's all because of just the aura of that place. It makes you want to, you know, play your best. And I think that Bill Krosky Merritt will definitely shine in this game. Not too much on the side right now. I'll share that with my private group. We'll also have a college football game tomorrow night as well. NC State will visit Wake Forest. Wake Forest is getting 7.5 at home. That's a lot of points. But I've noticed over the years that 7.5 can be a trap. A lot of times 7.5 turns to a double-digit win. And then you got the over and under at 52.5. Wake Forest is 2-0. It's his third consecutive home game. I'm a real fan of the new coach, Jake Dickert. I followed him at Washington State. He was a good coach over there. Washington State is in a situation, them and Oregon State, where, like, what are you going to do? They are holding on to the name of the Pac-12 because they were able to sue the other teams in the league to get that name because, you know, everyone bailed on the Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever it was when it broke up. I think it was the Pac-12 by then. And those two teams were left with control of the name, but they can't build a conference right now. And just a bad job by their commissioner. I'm still upset with him for destroying some of the best football that I remember growing up. The Pac, it started out Pac-8, Pac-10, now Pac-12 was a really, really good conference with a lot of talent and a lot of exciting late night games on Saturdays that I used to watch. And now I guess the Mountain West Conference is the power conference on the West Coast. But Jake Dickert was in a situation with Washington State where he was kind of plateaued. He could only go so far. So he ends up going to take over the job at Wake Forest, and he's going to try to get the Demon Deacons rolling over there. I know he's a defensive-minded coach. He started out as the DC for Washington State, and then Washington State's head coach ended up getting fired because he refused to take the shot. And that's weird now because I'm sure he's going to sue the university because now the shot isn't even mandatory, and he lost his job behind that. But Jake Dickert ended up getting that job because the original head coach refused to comply with the COVID rules at the time. Well, Dickert is over at Wake Forest. He has a quarterback over there, Robbie Ashford. Robbie Ashford, he started out at Auburn. From there, he went to South Carolina. He was starting in South Carolina for a little while, but ends up losing his job to the very talented Lenoris Sellers. So now I think this is his fifth year playing college football as well, but he goes to Wake Forest under Jake Dickert. On the other side of the ball, the visiting team is NC State. Dave Doran's there for his 12th season. He's been a model of consistency over there in Raleigh. A really, really solid coach. Produced more pros than people really pay attention to from NC State. I love their quarterback, C.J. Bailey. Talked about him a little bit last year. He's 6'6", kind of thin, you know, kind of wiry. I think he's about 215, but he's very athletic, very accurate in the passing game. In these two games in 2025, he's thrown for 518 yards, two scores, but he's also rushed for three touchdowns. And NC State, they kind of were, you know, missing their run game in the first week. They struggled against East Carolina, where they found it last week against Virginia. Really tough win for them because a lot of the money was on NC State last week hosting Virginia. It was that janky three was out there, and they were able to hop in and get a four. So I don't know if they're a special team, but I know that they did show that they're a good team because not only did they beat Virginia, but they also covered the spread, and the public was on them. So that's always something that I look at because I feel like if a team has the public on their back and they're still covering, then it's some solid football going on. It's no leaks in the program. So that's a good thing for the NC State side. As far as the Demon Deacons, they have a decent running back in DeMond Claiborne. He went off against lesser competition last week. The first week, though, they played another lower-level team in Kennesaw State, and Kennesaw State held them to 10 points. They barely won that game, 10-9, but the offense did look better last week. This is a rivalry game that goes back a long time in the ACC, two Tobacco Road teams, more known for basketball, I'd say, than football. But the last 10 matchups, they're 5-5 against each other. NC State, I think that the line is screaming for you to take Wake Forest, so I'd probably lean NC State, even though it's not an official play. But the under is probably the play on this game. I think that Wake Forest plays some good defense, but I also think that they struggle a little bit to move the ball. NC State is a solid team. If C.J. Bailey can stay hot in the pass game, they'll be able to move the ball. I do not think that Hollywood Smothers has as good as a game as he had last week against Virginia. I think that Wake Forest will be geared up to stop him. Because last week he really went off. He had 170 yards and 140 yards and two touchdowns on only 17 carries. So I'm sure that he's going to be the number one public target for them over there at North Carolina State. So I don't expect much from him. I will expect both quarterbacks to do well in the run game. I'm going to take C.J. Bailey to go over 25 and a half yards. I think that he can do that on one scramble. The kid has great acceleration. I also am going to take C.J. Bailey to score a touchdown at minus 109. He's a guy that gets around the end zone, and if the defense doesn't keep its gaps and they blitz him and he sees man-to-man, he's gone, and he can get somewhere really quick, long stride. So give me C.J. Bailey twice for over 25 and a half yards rushing and also to score a touchdown at minus 109. And also, I'll try Robbie Ashford, not as strong on this pick as C.J. Bailey, but it's a very good chance that he scores a touchdown at plus 130. I mean, you got to always take the value when you're getting plus money on a plus 130. So I'll take Robbie Ashford to score a touchdown, plus 130. He scored both of the previous contests. I remember at Auburn and in South Carolina, he was a RPO guy, more run-first type of guy. His rushing yards are pretty high. It's 41 and a half. Wouldn't be a bad stab. You know, I think that he can get there. He's gotten over the number the last two games. So that would be one that I would look at as well. But for sure, C.J. Bailey over 25 and a half yards, which is really low. And C.J. Bailey to score a touchdown at minus 109. Robbie Ashford to score a touchdown at plus 130. And I do lean the under on this game. I think that both of these teams have quarterbacks that they use in the run game. All right, let's get to the future, man. I'm going to give you guys a future play that has some astronomical returns. Talen Green, much like C.J. Bailey, 6'6", long, thin kid that's electric. He's at Arkansas. Right now, he's plus 15,000 to win the Heisman. That's right, 15,000. So if you lay 10 bucks, you can win $1,500 on him, man. And that's definitely worth it. I'll put 100 on him because if you can cash $15,000 on a Heisman Trophy ticket off a $100 investment, that's pretty good. The reason why I like him is because the whole offense at Arkansas is based around Talen Green. You know, they're going to go as he goes. He's starting out in the year really hot, 41 of 57, 10 touchdowns, only two picks, had an electric 64-yard run last week. I've been watching this kid a while. He was at Boise State at first. Boise State was not the type of program for him. They just play a different style of offense that he wasn't going to be able to excel in. You know, it's more pro-style offense, and he's a dual-threat guy. Fifth-year senior, he's out of Louisville, Texas. That they always, you know, produce some really good players. If I'm not mistaken, that's the Dallas area. But this week, I think he begins his showcase. He has a schedule that's going to allow for him to get on the national stage a lot. He plays at Ole Miss this week. If he has a huge game, this number is going to be cut in half to 15,000 for him to win the Heisman. Following that, they have Notre Dame in 2 weeks coming to Fayetteville. You know that's going to be a huge game that everyone is going to be watching. The week after that, they travel to Tennessee, another big SEC game that'll be on national TV. Then after that, they have A&M, and then Auburn comes to Arkansas. Then after that, Mississippi State, which we just saw them upset Arizona State, so they're a much better team than they've been recently. You know, Starkville hasn't been really a good team since Dak Prescott was there. But he plays Mississippi State, then he's at LSU, at Texas, which are going to be two huge games. Arkansas and LSU is a longtime rivalry, more rivalry for Arkansas. They're more fired up to play LSU than LSU is for them. But an old school Southwest Conference rivalry when he plays Texas. And if he outplays Arch in that game, which I expect him to do, I think that a lot of people will be looking at this kid. And then they end the season against Missouri. These are a lot of showcase games that are on Talen Green's schedule, man. So it's no way that I'm not going to make an investment at plus 15,000. These is what we call value plays. And if you've been watching the wagering world enough, you know that the main reason we bet futures is to get into a hedgeable situation. This would not be a hedgeable situation. What it would end up being is if you're on the right book, they'll start offering you things as this number starts coming down. So if you throw $100 on him at 15,000 and the book see that it's a chance that they're going to have to pay you 15 racks, they might offer you $1,000 as his name gets to going up. And then now you have an opportunity to make some profit. And that's what it's all about when it comes to sports betting. Hey, shout out to Steve. Thank you for ordering that shirt from us, man. He ordered a It's Us Versus the Machine shirt. We appreciate that, Steve. You heard what he said. Smash the like button right now. Guys, if you're rocking with the Waging World, you're in here now, or if you see the show afterwards on YouTube, please hit that like button, hit the notifications button, hit the subscribe button. That way that you are catching all of the plays and all of the shows. I'm sure Spread will be back on Friday, so it'll be back to normal with he and I, but for right now, I'm enjoying actually going solo and getting a chance to interact more with you guys, because when Spread and I are doing the show, we're so into our conversation, I don't really get a chance to see what you guys are saying or, you know, kind of talk to you. So I like that a lot for the future play, guys. Invest in Taylen Green, plus 15,000. The books are slipping on that number. He has a showcase schedule, and this kid is a hell of a player. And Arkansas built their whole offense around him and what his talents can bring to Fayetteville. All right, guys, let's get to this ball and parlay. All right. If you can't beat them, join them. We're going with Tatiana Maria, minus 135 versus Marino today. I think they play about 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time in Guadalajara. Hopefully it's not raining. I haven't checked the weather, but they did have some rain there yesterday. I just kind of broke it down in the past when I told you that Maria is one of those ladies that takes real advantage of these down times when no one is really paying much attention to these tournaments, and it's a way for her to earn some money to take care of her family. Rebecca Marino, big tall girl out of Canada, really good server, but much like Samez, and even more so with Marino, I think she's going to get frustrated with Maria. Those drop shots and slices and making her do some running is not what Marino wants to do. She wants to sit back and hit heat from the baseline. And I think that Maria's going to cross her all up. And at minus 135, that's a really good number. So we'll be playing Tatiana Maria at minus 135 in Guadalajara. And then we're going to go to the capital of Slovenia, where my guy Luka Doncic is from. Go to Ljubljana. When you see it, guys, it's spelled Ljublana, but you pronounce it Ljubljana. So that's the capital of Slovenia. They're going to have a tournament tonight. Let's get Jewel Niemeyer at plus 150 versus Simona Walter. They faced before, and Niemeyer beat her 6-1, 6-1. Walter is a young girl from Switzerland that sometimes she plays okay, sometimes she doesn't. I just don't think she has the power to play with Niemeyer, and lately her game has not been right. Niemeyer, this is a chance for her to get a victory, get some a check, you know, get to the next round, and she'll be really confident against Simona Walter. Walter can't hit with her. It is on clay, and Niemeyer is a really good clay player as well. So we'll go with Jewel Niemeyer and Ljubljana at plus 150. All right, guys, I'm going to take some questions right now. If you got any questions for Five Star, I'll take some questions for about 2 minutes. Thank you. We appreciate you, man. Respect you as well. Jay, I will make sure to DM you. I will DM you. If you're on X, put it inside the chat, man. Put your profile name on X, and I'll make sure that I get over there to you and, you know, speak to you about getting into the private group. Taking questions right now. Any questions for Five Star, shoot them over to me right now. All right, Larry West, my guy, Larry. What's up, Larry? He's a member of the private group. That's my boy, man. He's overseas, you know, stationed over in the desert, man. Good kid. FSU, my team. You feeling the vibe this year? Yes, sir, I am, Larry. I'm a huge fan of Thomas Castellanos. I followed him at Boston College. He's a really good player. He's undersized, but he's one of those guys who has that great combo that I like, and that's accuracy along with athleticism. And the thing that's great about Castellanos is he's not afraid of anyone, as we saw against Alabama. So he's going to bring that team a lot of confidence. Shout out my guy, Coach Norville. You know, if you watch the Wager World, I call him Coach Cornrows, because when he was a young guy playing quarterback at a mid-major school, he had cornrows. He used to rap. So I got a lot of love for Mike Norville. He has respect for the culture, man, and he's a hell of a play caller when he has the right guy under center. Keep coming with the questions, guys. I DM you. I got your information, man. I DM you. Thank you. I appreciate all of the love that you show, Oceana. Okay, A1 says, any teams in the NFL offering any value from a futures aspect to win the Super Bowl? Yes, the Kansas City Chiefs. I just took them yesterday just to win the conference at plus 550. That alone is a great pick. If you can wait, and if they end up losing to the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend, which a lot of people think that they are, then it's going to be even better. People aren't realizing that Mahomes has played in the AFC Championship every year that he's been in the NFL. Andy Reid's a hell of a coach, you know, in the wintertime. Also, they get back Rashee Rice. That's going to be huge. And Xavier Worthy should be a little bit better. They said that his shoulder injury needed surgery, but he's going to try to wear a brace to see if he can play with the steel. If not, do not be surprised if Kansas City tries to go get Tyreek Hill and bring him back to Kansas City as well, man. Let's see. What's up, my boy Carlos, another member of the private group, been rocking with me for many years. He says, five, why the Texans started out looking just like the Astros defense, but can't put up any points. Well, that's because what I talked about earlier, man, D'Amico Ryans is the best defensive play caller in the NFL for sure. And the problem with D'Amico, though, is I think that because he's a young coach, he's afraid to hire an offensive-minded OC that has been a head coach before, a guy who can run his own system, who can walk in the room and demand as much respect as him. And man, in order to be a real boss, you have to be able to delegate. You do not want to be the smartest guy in the room. And I think that that's what D'Amico's dealing with. You know, I think he's afraid that with him being a young black guy as the head coach, that if he brings in one of these wizards, one of these vets like, you know, John Gruden or somebody who's been doing it a long time, and he has any down period, that they'll replace him with the OC. But he can't think that way, man. He's a hell of a defensive coordinator. So great DC. D'Amico has to concentrate on being a CEO. You have to be able to watch both sides of the ball. I saw my guy Sean Payton do it with the Saints. Initially, the Saints were horrible on defense. Sean Payton only concentrated on offense because he was an ex-quarterback. You know, he's always called offense. I was been an offensive-minded guy. And he saw, like, man, this is why we can't win. We're not doing anything on defense. The moment that he started paying attention to both sides of the ball, we saw a lot of growth in the Saints, and they became a team that was someone to deal with every year. So D'Amico's young, man. You got to realize this is only his third season as a head coach in his whole life. Like, he never was a head coach in college or the high school. He was a DC for the 49ers, before that a player. So he'll get it. He's a really smart guy, and I think that this week he'll be paying more attention. But he has to stop hiring these new booties, man. He got to stop hiring guys who are just learning on the job, who don't have any experience. But as I said, I think the reason that he's doing that is only because he wants to be the guy in the room. He wants to be the biggest voice. But look at the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell was brought in Brian Flores because Kevin O'Connell's a smart guy. Like, hey, I don't know defense. Let this guy come in here and be respected, and we'll play some better defense. So hopefully, Carlos, we'll see the Texans become a more well-rounded team. Another thing that I spoke about, too, Nick Caley has to follow the example of McVay, follow the example of O'Connell, who he coached with both those guys, and he was under McVay forever. You have to figure out ways to design plays where your top receiver, which is Nico Collins, cannot be taken out the game plan. You know, he has to concentrate on that, man. Now, let's see what we got. All right, Steve says, Julius Saiyan plus 2,000 for Heisman is disrespectful, in my opinion. Guy has all the arm talent in the world with an NFL O-line, three NFL wide receivers, an NFL tight end, and a great coach. If they OSU is winning, he will be on the stage. I agree with that. The only problem is if Jeremiah Smith is dominant, Carnell Tate is dominant, which we know they are going to be. They've been there so long. I don't think that they're going to look at Young Saiyan. They're going to say, oh, well, you know, look what he has around him, all the things that you said. I think Julius Saiyan is one to look at for next year as a Heisman candidate. Let's see what we got here. Okay, Jonathan Zellner said, what do you think of the U this year? Can we touch the playoffs? Shout out to Miami. You better win this week because you got South Florida. You can't afford to slip up like the Florida Gators did and allow South Florida to come in and beat you. You know, I'm sure that they'll be paying attention, but a lot of times Florida teams look at South Florida and, oh, little brother, they can't play with us. We're going to beat them to death. South Florida has a really good defense and a really, really good coach over there. So, and a really good quarterback who gives them a lot of confidence in Byron Brown. So the U is good. I do think that you're going to get the best out of Carson Beck, man. Carson Beck looks good. We've seen before with Georgia quarterbacks, with Justin Fields going to Ohio State, that it's kind of like a sigh of relief to get away from Georgia and Kirby Smart, because Kirby Smart is a quarterback hater. He doesn't care for quarterbacks. He's a safety, you know, when he played ball, and he's a straight defensive coordinator, first at Alabama and now the Georgia head coach. And he builds his team around the defensive line, linebackers, running backs. He doesn't care who's the quarterback. He'd rather have a guy like Stetson Bennett and like the kid Gunner that's in there now. So Gunner Stockton, that's the quarterback now. He wants a no-name at quarterback. He doesn't like high maintenance guys. And I think he got turned off by Carson Beck getting a private plane for NIL. But that kind of fits the Miami thing. My guy Cam Ward was at Miami last year, did really well getting on the big stage and getting that Miami money behind him. And Cam actually owes me a check. I'm the first guy that found Cam Ward when he was with Incarnate Word, made a bunch of noise about him. And it ended up where some of the guys that who were Miami alumni contacted me in the DM about him on X. And I told him, yeah, he's the guy you want to look at. He ends up coming to Miami and becoming the number one pick. So Cam Ward, don't make me come to Houston and look for you. His family's right outside of Houston, man. But now I'm glad that the kid did well. I feel like a proud uncle when I see him and I see Jaden Daniels, and like a proud big brother when I see Josh Allen. I was talking about Josh Allen on X, I think 2016 or 17, when he was at Wyoming, and he was his first start. And I was like, this kid is special, man. And that was on my old account. And I just went to bat for him, like NFL tagging scouts and stuff. Like, you got to see this guy, man. So that's the Q&A for today. We'll be back on Friday. Hopefully Spread will be here with me. You guys make sure to keep spreading your prayers, that everything goes well with him and his family. Hey, guys, as always, I dedicate this show to the greatest Houston sports fan that I know, and that's my father, John H. Lindsay. I do this for you, Dad. You guys go to www.thewageringworld.com. If I ever helped you win a bet or helped you with some information, go support the show. Go buy some merchandise from off of the page. I'm going to create a tip page on there as well, a tip link as well, because it's kind of difficult. Guys are always asking, man, where can I tip you at? I'm going to just end up putting it on the website where it'll be very easy for you guys. I appreciate when love is given back, because as I said, I just do this for my free time, man. But I can always take that tip money and go take the kids to go play at the arcade or something, right? So all that comes in is really appreciated and respected over here in the waging world. Once again, the show is called Good Vibrations Only, guys. If you want to be a successful sports bettor, you can't be a hater. If you want to be a successful sports bettor, you can't be a person who wishes bad on others. If you want to be a successful sports bettor, you can't be a guy that's negative, man. You got to keep positive energy. That's why when I vet guys who are coming into the private group, I have to feel them out first, because energy is everything, man. I do not want negative energy around me. It makes everybody's vibrations drop, and you cannot succeed as someone who's dealing with numbers. When we deal with numbers, guys, I always remember the universe was created with numbers. The fake universe, which is the internet, was created with numbers through binary code. So when you're dealing with numbers, you're dealing with energy, you're dealing with vibrations. So all of that stuff is tied in together. I feel like sports betting is a cosmic thing because you're pretty much getting something back for nothing. You're not doing any work. You're doing the work by scouting the games, but anything can happen, guys. And that's why you always want your energy the right way when you're dealing with this, man, because you're just getting blessed anytime that you can cash a ticket, man. So keep your energy right. If you want to be a part of this way of the world, man, stay positive, man. I appreciate you all. It's always us versus the machine. See you guys on Friday.